With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 24th. Coming up this hour,
the Justice Department may sue Google as early as today. We are live with the latest.
New tensions between the U.S. and China, this time over Russia.
Microsoft gets set to report earnings.
And more job cuts come to corporate America.
Another mass shooting in California Monday leaves 7 dead. Plus, a majority of New Yorkers want embattled Republican Congressman Santos to resign. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A Ranger win over Florida. The Islanders lost in Toronto, and they're playing the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with a looming government lawsuit against Google. We get the latest live now with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Justice Department is poised to sue Google for antitrust violations, alleging the tech giant unfairly dominates the digital ad market. Google has argued competition in online ads is quite healthy, noting its rivals include other power players like Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft. Alphabet's Google is number one in the U.S. digital ad market, controlling technology used to buy, sell, and service online ads. The company is projected to bring in nearly $70 billion in U.S. online advertising revenue this year. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. While staying in Washington now, U.S.-China relations are in focus today. The Biden administration has confronted Beijing with evidence that suggests ties to Russia and support for Russia's war effort in Ukraine. Details now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News that the U.S. suspects some Chinese state-owned companies may be providing assistance for Russia's war effort in Ukraine. The administration is reviewing the evidence it's accumulated to determine its significance. No word on what that evidence is. If the Biden administration finds that Chinese companies are supporting the invasion and that China's government knew about it or somehow involved, they would be forced to decide how much to push back, and that could risk opening a whole new area of dispute with China. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Amy. Let's turn back to these markets now, where we continue to see a bullish start to 2023. The NASDAQ 100 is coming off its best two-day run since November. It gained 2% yesterday, and the S&P 500 is up 12% from its October low. Still, Mike Liss, senior portfolio manager at American Century Investment, says it is a confusing time for investors.
You've got lots of positives, like a strong job market, consumers still spending, China's opening, and inflation slowing. But the negatives are rates may have to stay elevated for a while. Housing's a drag. The PMIs are contracting. And you have elevated geopolitical concerns. So it is very confusing out there. Lots of cross currents.
All right. Now, Mike Liss with American Century Investments likes banks. He says he is overweight in the sector.
Well, Nathan, corporate earnings could be a determining factor to whether this rally has legs. And this afternoon, we hear from tech heavyweight Microsoft, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the software giant's quarterly results could reflect continued pressure on Windows and cloud products. Windows demand may have softened because of weaker PC sales, and the rate of growth for products from Azure to Dynamics 365 likely slowed. But with Microsoft and other technology companies that have yet to report, investors will be all ears when executives talk about the outlook. Guidance from the sector could offer clues to how long the pressure on earnings might last. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Jeff, thanks. We're seeing more job cuts across corporate America this morning. We get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's Dan Schwartzman. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Bloomberg News learning that Gemini, the firm led by the Winklevoss twins, will lay off 10% of its staff. It's the third round of job cuts for the cryptocurrency exchange dating back to June. Gemini Trust has been unable to pay out funds to some of its account holders due to the bankruptcy of Genesis Global Capital, who is set to owe around $900 million to clients. Meantime, the auto industry also seeing job losses. Ford Motor Company will be laying off 3,200 workers across Europe, mostly in Germany. It wants to cut costs to pour more money into electric vehicle production. Ford CEO Jim Farley has pledged more than $50 billion toward the development of EVs. I'm Dan Schwartzman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Dan, thank you. Now let's turn to Silicon Valley and the trial of Elon Musk. The Tesla CEO is on the witness stand for a second day in his securities fraud case, defending tweets about taking the company private. Egg Baxter has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The crux of testimony centered around a deal with a Saudi public investment fund. He said he'd had a handshake agreement in getting help going private, but then they began to backpedal on the arrangement after his go private tweet. He also said he had support from Larry Ellison as well as two other investment firms. Musk also noted the wording of the text that he was contemplating taking the company private. He's back on the stand today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thanks. While Musk continues to fight that court battle over Tesla, he's facing another legal challenge when it comes to Twitter. According to a lawsuit there, Musk is accused of not paying rent on the company's San Francisco headquarters since December. The owner of the building says the social media company failed to pay almost $7 million in rent over the last 2 months.
While Musk is caught up in legal battles, Nathan, he has seen his wealth increase thanks to a mini rally in Tesla shares. According to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, Musk's fortune has swelled by more than $10 billion since Friday to reach a total of roughly $145 billion since Friday. Musk last month became the first person ever to see $200 billion erased from their net worth.
It is 36 degrees in Central Park. Cloudy skies will give way to sunshine today and a high near 45. Those clouds are going to roll back in tonight, though, ahead of a wintry mess tomorrow. Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Another mass shooting in California. Seven people were killed and another severely injured in shootings that took place at two separate locations in Half Moon Bay in Northern California. Another person was wounded and taken to a hospital in critical condition. The other three bodies were discovered at a separate nursery with gunshot wounds. San Mateo County Sheriff Christina Corpus calls it a horrific shooting.
The motive for the shooting is currently unknown. Through investigation, the suspect, identified as Chung Lee Zhao, a 67-year-old Half Moon Bay resident.
The shootings occurred 2 days after a gunman killed 11 people at a dance club. The shootings in California led to a march in New York City. It went from Union Square to Chinatown to fight gun violence in the U.S. This person was at the event.
Every time something like this happens, we say, oh my God, never again. But when are we really going to finally say this is enough?
Another marcher says gun violence is a public health crisis. Attorney General Merrick Garland dismissed criticism that the Justice Department is treating Donald Trump and Joe Biden differently when it comes to investigating their handling of classified documents.
We do not have different rules for Democrats or Republicans, different rules for the powerful or the powerless, different rules for the rich or for the poor. We apply the facts and the law in each case in a neutral, nonpartisan manner. That is what we always do.
A.G. Garland made the comments during a meeting of the Reproductive Rights Task Force at the Justice Department. A new poll shows a majority of New Yorkers want Long Island GOP Representative George Santos to resign. According to a Siena College Research Institute poll, nearly 6 out of 10 New York voters said Santos should step down, and about half of Republicans say he should leave office. Santos admitted to lying about working at Goldman Sachs and other parts of his resume while campaigning. The Oscar nominations will be announced this morning. Some of the favorite movies include Top Gun Maverick, Avatar The Way of Water, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Elvis. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
I've actually seen a couple of those. How about that? Thank you, Michael. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, now brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Despite the shellacking they took Saturday night in Philadelphia, the Giants' season was a rousing success, best since 2011, and now begins what will be an interesting offseason. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley can both be unrestricted free agents. Giants general manager Joe Shane was asked about Barkley.
We want to build this team and allocate our resources, and that's what it comes down to. So, again, he's a good football player. He was durable for this year. He played well, and you know, again, he's a guy that we'd like to have back.
Shane was more definitive about the chances of Jones returning. Giants have learned they'll have the 25th pick of the draft. The Jets will pick 13th. Chiefs coach Andy Reid says he expects Patrick Mahomes to play in Sunday's AFC Championship game with Cincinnati. Despite a high ankle sprain, it did not prevent Mahomes from playing second half last Saturday. At the Garden, Rangers beat Florida 6-2. Pair of goals for Mika Zibanejad, 3 assists for Artemi Panarin. Islanders lost in Toronto 5-2, and the Isles have now lost 5 in a row, 9 of the last 10. Knicks tonight try to end a 4-game losing streak. They host Cleveland. College hoops, Kansas, defending national champs, was 16-1, lost at Baylor. Jayhawks have lost their last 3. Duke is just 5-4 in the ACC after a loss at Virginia Tech. A couple of Russians into the semifinals of the Australian Open. Karin Khachanov took out the American Sebastian Korda. Elena Rybakina coming off an upset of top seed Iga Swiatek won again. Third seeded Jessica Pegula has just lost her quarterfinal match with Victoria Azarenka 6-4, 6-1. We'll find out today who, if anyone, gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The feeling is it could be a shutout, but if anyone has a chance, it might be Scott Rowland. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at idaireland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. We're following a couple of significant developments when it comes to the war in Ukraine. Sources are telling Bloomberg News that the Biden administration's confronting China with evidence that state-owned businesses may be providing assistance to the Russian war effort. And now we have confirmation from Poland that it is asking the German government to allow it to send Leopard 2 tanks into Ukraine to support their war effort. For more on all these stories, we're joined live by Bloomberg News Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. Roz, good morning. Thanks for being with us. I want to start with this U.S.-China situation. What is the evidence that the U.S. is talking about? What kind of assistance could state-owned enterprises be providing Russia?
Well, there wasn't a lot of detail about that, but what we know is that there is a rising level of concern in the US administration about just how much economic activity is going on between China and Russia and how much that might be becoming deliberate in order to support the Russian economy to facilitate its war in Ukraine. It seems to be focused around several things. One is just the activities of state-owned enterprises doing business in China. The other is perhaps the provision of non-lethal military assistance, which is sort of spare parts, goggles, that kind of thing, that might be just, you know, what Russia actually needs right now, given its struggles in Ukraine. And certainly a trajectory that the US administration is seeing where some of that activity is picking up. Of course, it's not in violation of sanctions that are placed on Russia for now. Chinese companies have been pretty careful to stay in their lane on that, even though China never signed up to these sanctions to begin with. But what they're seeing are signs that some of that activity is on the rise, and therefore the warnings are coming to Beijing to watch it.
What's the possibility, Roz, that the Chinese government wouldn't potentially know about this kind of activity coming from its own state-owned enterprises?
Well, it's possible that some of it is also through the private sector, and you've just got sort of the natural order of business. I mean, China is not just the only country who's really seeing business somewhat as usual with Russia, despite its actions in Ukraine, India, countries in the Middle East, Africa, and so on. Similarly, have been continuing to trade and invest with Russia. With state-owned enterprises, generally, they tend not to act without at least a sense of the mood in Beijing. It might not be an overt instruction from Beijing, but at least sort of knowing where the wind is with the leadership there in terms of things like their view on Russia and its actions in Ukraine. So they wouldn't be acting really without sort of a sense of that, even if it's not an overt instruction. So you can read from that that probably there is a sense of a mood shift in Beijing and the leadership about Russia on this.
And what's the potential of the mood shift affecting U.S.-China relations? We've had over the last couple of months, at least, an effort to try to stabilize, if not further improve, Chinese relations after that meeting between the presidents of the U.S. and China.
Well, certainly that is the balancing act that we're seeing going on. As you've noted, there's been sort of a shift between China and the US, at least an effort to put that relationship on a more even keel. And we're expecting the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, to visit China before too long. And that would be sort of putting that on that further trajectory. So there'll be probably an anxiety, at least in Washington, to make sure that these issues remain somewhat separate. Yeah, you continue to press China over Russia, over Ukraine, but equally, you're trying to put sort of trade, investment and other issues, including the need to tackle climate change collectively, for example, on a different track between the US and China relationship. So you'd imagine that there's a strong desire not to have it infect that broader trajectory too much.
And I want to turn, Roz, finally to this new development that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal a moment ago, that Poland is now formally asking Germany for permission to send in Leopard 2 tanks. I guess this isn't too big a surprise here, but this does seem to have become something of a fracture in the NATO alliance. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, that's right. To some sense, it's a formality because Poland has been asking for weeks and weeks and weeks for Germany to agree to this, almost a daily commentary from someone in Poland saying Germany needs to now allow this. So it's just putting more pressure on Berlin to agree that other countries can send in their own German-made heavy tanks, the Leopard tanks in particular. We are expecting that Germany will sort of get over the line on this at some point, whether it's days or potentially still weeks. But the pressure is intense. And really, even Germany is agreeing that Ukraine needs more heavy weapons if it's going to be able to push back against a possible Russian offensive that may come in the next couple of weeks or couple of months. But it's really just sort of keeping that public pressure from Poland on Germany to agree.
Just 30 seconds left here, Roz, but what's been holding Germany back up to this point?
Well, a bunch of things. One is obviously a concern, and Germany's not the only one saying this, is that the worry is the more heavy kit you send into Ukraine, the more at some point you possibly provoke Russia into a reaction, although Vladimir Putin has threatened that before and not followed through. So that's really a fundamental concern. And also Germany's just very cautious about its weaponry going into other hands. That's been its position since the end of World War II and something that it still holds very closely. So those are probably the two main drivers in that regard.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.